Meruchim Abayim, ladies. Tiskul Shanim Rabot, Naimot Vetovot. We are a few days before the holiest day of the year, the great awesome day of Yom Kippurim, a day that only comes once a year and has great value because all of the events that transpire in the coming year, 5,770, are decided on this day and sealed. Today, I want to review with you a story that you might know already, but it's important to review it this time of year, and that's the story of Yonah. Why are we learning Yonah today? On Yom Kippur, the Halakha says in the afternoon, about Mincha time, we take Sefer Torah out again. We read Sefer twice on Kippur. In the afternoon, after we read Sefer, we read Haftarah. And that's the book of Yonah. And there's a reason why they chose this book specifically on Kippur at that time. At about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we start to read it. And also, it's unique that we read the whole book. Normally, when we read Haftarah, we read 10, 15, 25 Pesukim. Here, we read the entire book, from the first chapter all the way to the end. Who was Yonah? Before we could understand the story, who was he? Well, first of all, he was a prophet. He was a student of Eliyahu HaNavi. Arguably, Eliyahu HaNavi was one of the great prophets that ever lived. Eliyahu never died. At the end of Eliyahu's life, he went up to the Shamayim in a fire, and he comes down from time to time, and he greets the Tzaddikim. He had many students, Eliyahu HaNavi. One of his most famous was the prophet Elisha. One of the less famous, that they don't know that it was a student, is Yonah. How did Eliyahu meet Yonah? God sent him once to a city, to a certain woman's house. Eliyahu blessed the woman that she should have a child. And Eliyahu's blessing came true and she gave birth. Shortly thereafter, the child died. The lady came to Eliyahu HaNavi and said, "You gave me a beracha. Where's the blessing?" He went to the house and he miraculously brought this child back from the dead. This child was indeed Yonah. So Yonah's young life, he was already a miracle child. He was blessed by Eliyahu HaNavi, and he was destined for greatness. There were so many prophets that prophesied for the Jewish people, but for this man to have his own book called Sefer Yonah shows us that he must have been in a class and a league by himself. I want to go through the main part of the story with you. And maybe we can learn some lessons. And then when we read it on Kippur, you'll hear the words that we're saying now, and the ideas that we'll say over today, you'll remember them, and it can be an inspiration. Vehi devar Adonai el Yonah ben Amitai lemor. And it was the word of God came to Yonah ben Amitai. Amitai was Yonah's father. Yonah's a prophet, so God speaks to the prophets. God speaks to the prophets when they're asleep, in a dream. The only prophet that spoke to God when he was awake was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe speaks to God like we talk to each other, like a man talks to his friend. Every other prophet, including Yonah, goes into a trance, falls to the ground, the Spirit of God comes over him, and he sees the image in his mind. Even at the time of the prophecy, the prophet shakes. It's almost bar minan, like an epileptic fit, that the prophet is on the floor and his body is shaking because the divine presence is over him. When Shekhinah comes over a person, it causes him to shudder in fear. And God tells Yonah, "Kum, rise up. Lech el Nineveh ha'ir ha'gedola. Ukra aleha ki aleta ra'atam lefanai." There was a city called Nineveh. Nineveh was a city in Ashur, Assyria. Today that's Iraq. The people of Nineveh were not Jewish, they were Gentiles. And they were committing avonot. There were sins being committed, specifically theft and robbery. And God was fed up with the people of Nineveh. And he said to Yonah, go to them and give them a warning. And tell them that if they don't repent and they don't mend their ways, I'm going to destroy the city of Nineveh. Just like God destroyed the city of Sodom in the Bible, when they also became corrupt. God said to Yonah, warn them. If they repent, that's fine. But if they don't, they'll be destroyed. Yonah did not want to go. He did not want to do this job. Why not? It's an easy job. It's not such a difficult speech. You just have to say a few things. Bang on the pulpit, Rabotai, my name is Yonah ben Amitai. Show them their credentials, I'm a prophet. God came to me in a dream. You're going to be destroyed. Make teshuvah. The last thing Yonah wanted in his lifetime was to do this. To the extent, Vayakom Yonah Livroah, he got up and he ran away. He ran to a place called Tarshish. And then he got to a place called Yafo. Yafo was a port where the boats are. Vayimsa Oniya, and he saw a boat. The boat had just docked. It wasn't planning on leaving until a much later time. But Yonah wanted to get on the boat and just run away from his purpose. So the captain of the boat said to him, well, the boat's not leaving now. And we have to wait for more passengers. Yonah said, how many passengers usually go on the boat? He said, let's say 100. How many do you have on the boat now? 50. I'll pay for the other 50. So Yonah took out money, and he paid for half the boat that didn't even show up yet, just to get the captain to put the tzedakah on the side. It's a big zechu. Just put it over here on this chair. It's okay. I'm going to give after. No, put it on the chair. Ladies, mitzvah tzedakah is very important, but it disrupts the thinking process. Every mitzvah in its time. Torah, Torah. Tzedakah, tzedakah. When you do mitzvot together, the tzedakah is not so good, and the Torah is not so good. It's like, picture it maybe in making a cake. You mix the ingredients wrong, it doesn't come out good. I don't know how to explain it to you otherwise. So Yonah tells the captain of the boat, I'll pay for all the passengers that didn't show up yet. You will not lose any money. So he paid. Vayered ba, and he gets on the boat, lavo imahem, to go with them, Tarshisha, to the place of Tarshish, from Lifnei Hashem. And I ask you again a question, what is Yonah running away from? Just go do it. And the Hakamim tell us, Yonah was worried that his speech is going to be effective. He was worried that he's going to get up to the people of Nineveh, and they're going to make teshuvah. What's the matter with that? An effective speech is a great thing. But he was worried that once the people of Nineveh make teshuvah, it's going to be a condemnation against the Jewish people. It's going to put the Jewish people in a bad light. Where now God's going to say, look, these goyim, from one speech of the prophet, they repented and they became tzaddikim, and here the prophets come every day and chastise the Jewish people and give them musar and give them rebuke, and they still do not repent, and they still go after their bad ways. And the last thing Yonah wanted to do was make the Jewish people in trouble with God. It would be an indictment. How could I be the messenger to cause the Jewish people now harm. God's going to get angry at the Jewish people, and he chose me to be the catalyst, that I should be the in between, the intermediary, to be the whip of Hashem against the Jewish people. And I know what you're thinking. But God told you to go do something. You could have very good intentions and very good thoughts, but Hashem said to go do it. Where are you running, Yonah? To give Yonah the benefit of the doubt, because he's a prophet, we have to say that his love of the Jewish people was so great, like a good leader loves his people, like Moses. When God wanted to destroy the Jewish people, God told Moses after the golden calf, I will destroy them, but don't worry, Moshe. I will start a new nation from you. You have nothing to worry about. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you destroy them, destroy me with them. That's a perfect leader. That he does not put himself ahead of the nation. He puts himself with the people. When they enjoy success, he enjoys with them. And when they enjoy unfortunate misfortune, he goes down with them. Yonah was the same way, like Moshe. God told him to do something. Yonah said, even though I know I'm going to get punished for this, what I'm going to do now, running away from God. And I know God is going to be angry at me, but I'd rather make a sin, but not to condemn the Jewish people. Meaning, I'll take the hit. Let God take his anger out on me, but preserve the Jewish people. This we might refer to as a sin l'shem shamayim. You see how great the prophets are? We hope we can do mitzvot l'shem shamayim. The prophets are able to do sins l'shem shamayim. It was so pure-hearted. But the lesson of Yonah is going to be, you can't run away from God. And you cannot run away from your mission and your purpose. And if you're commanded to do something, God has many ways in order to bring you back, in order to fulfill his wish. Anyway, he gets on the boat. And all of a sudden, Borei Olam casted a mighty wind towards the sea. There was a great tempest, a storm. And the boat was going to break. The boat was going to capsize. It was a storm that was of great, great serious. And the boat was in peril. So the sailors became frightened. And they started to pray to their gods. A sailor doesn't start praying unless they're in trouble. That's the last thing you do. When all else fails, with casting the sails and trying to redirect the boat, then already you pray. I once heard of one of the people in the community that were on a boat, a big cruise ship. And they got towards Cape Hatteras, where there's a lot of turbulent water over there. And even this big cruise boat started to become shaky. And all the glasses were falling off the bar, like you see, and they were smashing. And it was very dangerous. And the captain got on the boat and said, pray to your Lord that we're able to get through this. Then you know you're in trouble. Just as a piece of advice, the holy books say that one of the sigulot of the afikoman that you eat on Pesach is that if you're ever on a boat and there's turbulent water, to throw the afikoman in the water, and it calms the water down. Yonah didn't bring his afikoman with him, so he wasn't able to do that sigula. Anyway, everybody started to pray. They all worshipped Avodah Zarah. Everybody had their idolatry, their miniature idols in their pocket and their keychains. And they started to pray. Vayatilu et hakelim asher ba'oniya aliyam, and they started to throw the cargo overboard in order to lighten up the load. Lehakel me'alehim. Where was Yonah? Well, one thing is for sure, Yonah knew why this was happening. It was clear to Yonah that this was not just a weather situation. This was God hunting him down. Ve'yonah yarad yarketeh sefina. He went down to the galley of the boat. Vayishkav, and he went to sleep. Vayiradam, and he went in a slumber. Vayikrav elav rav achovel. And the captain is taking count of everybody on the ship, and there's one passenger missing. So he comes and he finds Yonah. Vayomer lo, he pushes him and he says to him, Malechan nirdam, what are you sleeping for? Kum kera el Elohecha, get up and pray to your God. Ulai yitasheta Elohim lanu, maybe God will pay us in mind. Velo noved, and we won't perish. Because of this pasuk, this is one of the reasons why we read this on Kippur. So you can hear this pasuk. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon already, you're well into the fast. We're fatigued, we're tired. At that time, we're on the last of our strength. Our energy is weakened. And our mind starts to become a little lightheaded from all the time that we're spending praying in synagogue. By then already, the only thing that comes into the brain is what we're going to break the fast on. What are we going to eat first? But this is the most critical time of Kippur. Because at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, when the sun starts to set, that's when it's being sealed. That's when the documents are being authorized. And this is the last attempt that we have to make a resolution, to make a certain effort to change the judgment or to get a good judgment. The next few hours of Kippur are the most critical hours of the entire year. Everything that's going to happen for the next 365 days all depends on these 2 hours. And there was no time to sleep. It's no time now to relax, even though we're tired. So our rabbis were so smart, they pictured in the synagogue somebody at 5 o'clock maybe putting his head down for a second to take a cat nap. Or maybe just closing his eyes or her eyes for a minute just to get some rest. And then all of a sudden you hear the hazan. Vayikra elav rav achovel. And the captain, who's the captain? The captain is God, the captain of the world. Vayomer lo, he tells the worshipper, Malecha nirdam, what are you sleeping for now? There's no time to sleep. Kum, get up. Kera el Elohecha, go pray mincha with Kavanah, you still have a few more hours left. Ulai, maybe in this 11th hour, maybe you'll be able to change the decrees to your favor. It's not over yet. If the Hakamim wanted Kippur to end at 5 o'clock, they would have ended it at 5. But they said it ends at 7:30. There's a reason why they gave you those 2.5 hours, because they knew that these hours are critical. And the end of Kippur is even more significant than the beginning, because that's when we become holy at the end of the holiday. We go into Kippur very physical, full stomach, we just showered, we're still in the worldly system, in world mode. By 24 hours later, now already we're like malachim. We've been praying for the large majority of Kippur in synagogue, draped in our talet, our heads in our siddurim. We've been refraining from all physical pleasures. We're malachim. God says, now that you're a malach, you have so much better chance to effect a good judgment. Now is no time to sleep. You should know that this is probably the most bid out of all the aliyot that we sell on Kippur. This usually goes for more than anything. Because it's brought down, it's a very good luck for somebody to have this aliyah of Sefer Yonah. It's a segula for long life and for beracha. But ladies cannot take this aliyah. But I'm just letting you know that. You could tell your husbands. Segula for a lot of things. Vayomeru ish el re'ehu. So now the people on the boat started to say to one another, the crew, v'chu v'napila goralot, let's take a lottery. V'nede'a b'shelemi hara'a hazot lanu. It seems they knew how to do a lottery that they could pick out of the hat who is responsible for this calamity. So it seems they put all the names of the manifest into the pot, and they mixed it up, and they pulled out. And guess whose name they pulled out? Oh, how did you know? Vayipol ha-goral al Yonah. And it landed on Yonah. Oh, so now there's investigation on Yonah. Vayomeru elav, agida na lanu, please tell us. Ba'ashid lemi ara'a zot lanu. Ma melachtecha, what is your job? Now that's a strange question. What do they care what his job is? That's not a question you ask now. And he's going to say, oh, I'm a plumber. Oh, you're going to die now. Who cares, ma melachtecha? What they were saying is, maybe your profession is criminal. Maybe that's why God is punishing you. Maybe you do something that's illegal. So what do you do for a living? Maybe you're involved in corruption of some sort. Ma melachtecha? They're trying to analyze why is this happening to them. Ume'ayin tavo, where do you come from? Maybe the people of your city where you live are guilty of a sin, and therefore God is punishing all the inhabitants of your city and you're one of them. Ma artzecha, where do you descend from? Where were you born? Maybe God's angry at your birthplace and therefore punishing you as well. Ve'em ze'am ata. And most important, what nation do you come from? Where is your people? Who is your people? Yonah answers all the questions. He probably told them, I'm a prophet. He told them the cities that he came from and he descended from. And then he answers the last question. Ve'yomer alehem, Evri anochi. I am a Jew. And I fear the God in heaven. You see this sea? You see this water? This was made by my God. You see that land mass far away? That was also made by my God. God is the God of the heavens and the earth. And Yonah starts to give them a whole explanation of what does it mean God? Who is God? A prophet is a prophet. Whenever he opens his mouth, he's going to teach something. And now all the sailors are getting a shi'ur from a prophet on who God is. And they got scared. They became frightened. Because it's frightening the way he explained who God was to them. And that God is angry at me. And this is happening because of what I did. They believed him. They felt that he was telling the truth. The way he said it was very impactful on them. They knew he was running away from God. So they tell him, what should we do now? Give us advice. How do we solve this problem? By this point over here, they were very convinced that there's a God in the world, and they started to become a little skeptical that their gods that were in their pockets are nothing more than dolls and toys. For the first time in their life, these goyim on the boat were awakened. It was eye-opener. That there's a God in the world called the God of the Jews, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, and there's divine providence. God punishes people that make sins, and God could do anything He wants, and God is all-powerful, and they started to become a little frightened from this God. So they came to Yonah and they said, please, just tell us what to do now. This is very important to know this. As we'll see. Vayomer alehem, so he says to them, Sa'uni v'atiluni elayam. Pick me up and throw me into the water. V'yishtokayam ma'alechem. As long as I'm on this boat, we're in trouble. Throw me into the waters, and then the waters will calm, and then the boat will calm, and everything will be fine. Ki yodeya ani, he says, I know. Ki bishchili asar gadol azeh alechem. It's all happening because of me. They didn't want to throw him off the boat. They feared Yonah also is a prophet. We're going to be involved now taking a prophet of God and throwing him overboard. They said, you know what, let's make one effort to row the boat back to the seashore. We don't want to throw him over. We want to get back to the land. But they weren't able to. And then the next pasuk tells us what the crew and the sailors did. They prayed to God. Uh-huh. From here we learn that already they prayed to God. What happened to the Avodah Zarah? What happened to the idolatry? Our rabbis say from here we learn that all the people on the boat, the goyim, they made teshuvah, and eventually we're going to learn that they all converted. And all the people on the boat became Jewish. All the sailors and all the captain and everybody. Now it became a kosher cruise the next time it would go. Everybody was Jewish. Vayomeru, when they said, Ana, please God, Hashem, Ana noveda benefesh ha'ish hazeh, ve'al titen alenu dam naki. Dear God, we have to do this, throw Yonah off, but please don't punish us for it. We know he's innocent, and we don't want to be punished for throwing somebody overboard and killing him. But God, ki ata Hashem, ka asher hafasta asita. God, you did this. We're just fulfilling your will. You made the storm. You're chasing him. We cannot go against your will. Ka asher hafasta asita. This is your doings. And if we're only following what you are telling us to do, so to speak. This is another reason why we read this on Yom Kippur. When you hear those words, God, according to your will, you have done. God has angels in the Shamayim that present the judgment in front of him. The Jews did this, this person did that, they're guilty, and so on. And they suggest sometimes that there should be bad decrees, lo aleinu v'lo aleichem, on Am Yisrael. But even though the angels are prosecuting, God created the angels. He's not bound by any jury. He's not bound by any advisors. God has veto power. God is able to tell the malachim, even so, I want to be kind. I want to give them more time to make the teshuvah. We say in the prayers on the holiday, Le'olam Adonai Devarecha Nisav Bashamayim. We say it 12 times. What does this mean? We're saying Devarecha. Anytime you see the word Daber, Vaydaber, Devarecha, it means strict. Vayomer is a soft word, and he said, Vaydaber is strict. If I'm in a good mood and I'm talking to somebody, we say Vayomer, he said. If I'm angry, we say Vaydaber, Lashon Kasher, strict. Sometimes there's decrees that are supposed to come down from the heaven to the earth. That's called Debarecha, your strict words. But we tell God,
Le'olam Hashem devarecha. Let your strict words nitzav b'shamayim. Let it stay in the heavens.
And don't say what the angels decided. You're God. You can veto it. You're able to tell the angels, leave it in the shamayim. Don't let the decrees come down to earth. Le'olam Adonai devarecha nitzav b'shamayim. Keep them in the shamayim. We don't want them to come down. Kasher hafasta asita. On Yom Kippur, we tell God, your will is what's going to happen. So don't listen to the prosecuting angels. Vayisuit Yonah. They took Yonah, they lifted him up. Vaytilu el hayam, and they threw him into the waters. And the rabbis tell us, they threw him into the water. The second his body touched the water, it stopped. The sea was calm. So they said, oh, let's bring him back in. So they brought him back in. The second he got back on the boat, storm again. And they did this a few times. They put him in, it stopped. They took him out, it so they realized that this was not a coincidence anymore. And the sea stopped raging. And these people had tremendous fear. Now they saw God close up. They saw the divine providence. Here they saw mamash, a miracle in front of their eyes. They've been riding on this boat for how many years? They never saw such a thing like this. They had so much fear. They brought a sacrifice to God. Our rabbis tell us, what is the sacrifice? When they got back to the port, they all went and they circumcised themselves. That's the sacrifice. The blood of circumcision. Because to convert, you need circumcision. They went to the mikveh, and they all became Jewish. As I explained, and they made vows. Vows to Judaism. This is important to know. These people were good people on the boat. They were, and she'emet, they were honest with themselves. They saw a miracle, they were confronted with a prophet, and they reacted correctly. I want to tell you two things about this. Number one, you cannot fight God. That was Yonah's mistake. He thought, if I go to Nineveh, they're going to repent, it's going to be bad for the Jewish people, so I'll go on a boat. God doesn't talk to people on the high seas. You need to be on land to get a prophecy. So there's no bars, there's no communication. So I'll go in the middle of the ocean, God can't talk to me, everything will be fine. Because I don't want to condemn the Jewish people. But guess what he did? He condemned the Jewish people. Because he made a whole boat convert. Now they all became Yehudim. And what does God say? If all these goyim, one speech of Yonah, and they all became Yehudim, these Jewish people, they heard so many speeches from the prophets, and nothing. So Yonah, you're trying to run away from condemning, and you ran right into it. You cannot, God plays with us. We think that we have control. Oh, I don't want to do this, I'm going to go there. God says, what do you think? Over there, you're going to do what you're trying to avoid, that's exactly what he's going to do over there. Rabot ma'azavot melev ish. You can't outsmart God. For the exact reason that you didn't want to go, Borei Olam says, good, now in the boat you made things trouble for you. Now they all converted. Now what are you going to do? Now look what you did to the Jewish people. That's one thing. The other thing that I want to point out is this is a rare thing. This story of Yonah on the boat. Since when the goyim have such a respect for a Jew? A goy doesn't need a tempest and a storm or an excuse to throw a Jew overboard. Jews have been thrown overboard just for fun. Anti-Semitism has been around since the beginning of time. Here we have a unique situation. We have sailors on the boat, and our rabbis tell us they came from all denominations. And they all feared Yonah and believed in God. It's a rare thing. I mention this to you because when Mashiach comes, that's the way it's going to be as well. The sovereignty is going to be to God. And God is going to be the king over the entire world. All the Gentiles, although of the Avodah Zarah, are going to throw away the Avodah Zarah, and they're going to come and serve the God of Am Yisrael, the one God, Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. So this is like a little window into the future. The boat is what's going to be like when Mashiach comes. The 70 nations of the world will get together, and they're going to see all the miracles that God does for the Jewish people, and there's going to be, like we say in the prayers, V'ya'asu kulam aguda ahat. They're going to make one group, one body. And the motto of the body is going to be, the mantra is going to be, La'asot resoncha belebab shalem, to fulfill the divine service. But we are not there yet. Today, we have aguda of all the nations. It's called the United Nations. This is the biggest anti-Semitic institution on the planet. This is where dictators and despots and people that were friends of Hitler come and meet from time to time. It's a fraternity of anti-Semites. It's a club where they get together in order to spew hatred about the Jewish people. One of the speakers yesterday, Yimach Shemo v'Zichro, practically blamed everything from swine flu to President Kennedy's assassination and everything in between on the Jewish people. He also advised that maybe to move the United Nations outside of New York. I agree with him. We don't need to have this charade, this fiasco that takes place every year. But it's such a musar to hear these people speak. And even our own president that joins in the rhetoric against the Jewish people, where in a speech that he delivers for over a half hour, the biggest applause that he received throughout the whole speech is when he attacked Israel and when he chastised them. All the leaders of the world clapping as well. This is very, very disheartening. And the keynote speaker, a denier of the Holocaust, where there's still people walking with tattoos on their arms. There are documents, there are pictures. The Americans, when they invaded Germany and they were liberating one of the camps, so the general said to the soldiers, take a lot of pictures. And these were horrific pictures. And they said, why should we take pictures of these bones and this carnage? And forgive my language, but I'm just quoting what the general said. He said, because one day in history there's going to come a bastard that's going to come and deny everything that took place here today. And therefore we need to have pictures so everybody can see the atrocities that took place. He was right. To deny the death of one or two people is plausible. But to deny 6 million deaths? But the world has no problem to invite him to give a speech as if he's considered somebody of stature. Because this is the fate of the Jewish people. If you have any doubt that we're God's people, the speeches that they make, they're picking on us only. They don't pick on the Russians, they don't pick on the Chinese or the Vietnamese. Every speech has the word Jew in it. You'd think that we're probably 92% of world population, the way they're talking about us. You'd think probably Jews are like the Chinese or the Japanese. Maybe there's billions of us. There's not. We're just a small fraction of a percentage of world population. But everybody has something to say about the Jewish people. All the ills of the world is the Jewish people's fault. This boat over here is the future United Nations. The boat of Yonah is where Yonah gets up to speak to the nations, and the nations come along and say, Adonai Yuha Elohim, Adonai Yuha Elohim, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, where do we convert, where do we sign up? This is a window into the future, the way it's going to be. There will come a day that will happen, when Melech HaMashiach is going to address the Security Council. The Messiah of the Jewish people is going to get up at the pulpit, and he's going to set everybody straight. Harambam writes, the Mashiach is going to have the wisdom greater than King Solomon, and prophecy right beneath Moshe Rabbeinu. And then you'll see a meeting like you never saw before. V'yahasu kulam aguda ahat. Now everybody's going to be in unison, like the boat of Yonah. We read this at a very good time, because you could get very depressed when you hear what's going on just a few miles away from us. Vayman Hashem Dag Gadol. Anyway, God brings a fish. It's more like a whale. Liblawa et Yonah, and the whale swallows Yonah. He got swallowed into a fish. And he was in the fish for 3 days and three nights. That's a miracle in itself, because there's no oxygen in the fish, his belly. And he was able to survive. God kept him alive. Vayitpalel Yonah el Hashem. You have to know this. What do you do if you get stuck in the belly of a fish? You have to pray. So he prayed. Mime'e haddaga. Originally, it's called a dag. And then it says daga. Dag is a male fish. Daga is a female fish. Yonah got swallowed twice. First he got swallowed by a male fish. But a male fish, its stomach is very wide. It's wide body. And there's no babies in there. So he had a lot of room. So he was able to be comfortable. So he said, okay, it's not the best place to be. But I have leg room. I have comfort. So God said he's too comfortable. So the male fish spit him out, and he got swallowed into a female fish. And she was pregnant. And now it was very crowded. He went from living in a mansion to a small little one-bedroom apartment, and he's stuck in the fish. And he prays to God, and he made teshuvah. And that's why we read the story again. The story of Yonah is a person who made a sin, and somebody that repents. And God accepts the repentance of Yonah after his whole prayer, which is very comforting to us at the end of the holiday. That nobody's perfect. Yonah also made sins. But when he reconciled with God, God accepted his prayers. Anyway, after God accepts his prayers, God tells the fish, Vayake et Yonah. And the fish spits out Yonah, and he like flies from the water and he lands on dry land. And now Yonah has a second chance. That's exactly what Kippur is. When you enter Kippur, when you enter the doors of the synagogue on Kippur, you have to imagine you're entering the belly of the fish. And you hear praying to God from the belly of the fish, please God, I'm sorry, I made avonot, that I'm going to be better, and I had the wrong lifestyle, and I didn't do what I'm supposed to do. And then after Kippur is over, and the rabbi says you can go, it's like you're being sent out of the fish again, and you're being sent out onto the land, and now God says, take two. Now let's see if you're going to fulfill the divine ordinance. God came to Yonah a second time. Kum lechem Nineveh, go to Nineveh. Go tell them the prophecy. Vayakum Yonah. Yonah did not hesitate this time. And Yonah gets up and makes the speech. He says, Od arba'im yom in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overturned. And they believed it. These are goyim. They called the fasting. They started to wear sackcloth. From the oldest to the youngest. A king, the king of Nineveh, sent out a royal decree. He took off his robe, his royal robe. He put on sackcloth himself. And he put a royal decree that nobody is allowed to eat. Ha'adam v'ha'behema. Even the animals must fast. If a person has a dog, you cannot feed your dog. If you have a sheep, you cannot take it out to graze. Al yit'amu me'uma. V'yitkasu sakim, put on sackcloth. V'yashuvu ish medarko ara'a. Everybody should make teshuvah and return all stolen property that is in their possession. And they made such a teshuvah. Halakha says, if somebody steals thread, and they make a shirt from the thread, and now they want to repent, according to the law, you're able to go to the person that you stole from and say, listen, hatati, I stole thread, but now I made a shirt. Here's money instead. I'll pay you for the thread. You do not have to take apart the shirt and give him back the thread. Why? Because God knows if you had to do that, nobody would do that. Nobody's going to take apart their shirt. You know what's going to end up happening? They're not going to make teshuvah. So to make teshuvah easy, the law says, all right, you're wrong. Compensate. A person steals a beam. A beam that you use for building. And you go use it in your house. You put your whole house and suspend it on the beam. Now you make teshuvah. You came to a class, the rabbi said, you're not allowed to steal beams. Oh, I didn't know. I stole the beam. So now what happens? Halakha. He can go to the person and just pay him. I want my beam. Halakha, here's your money. Why? Because God knows nobody's taking down their house to give back the beam. And then the person's not going to make teshuvah. So to make teshuvah easy, payback. The people of Nineveh were so meticulous. They took apart their shirts and they returned the thread. They dismantled their homes and they returned the beams. They made a teshuvah like nobody ever made teshuvah. And God saw the teshuvah. Vayar ha'Elohim et ma'asehim. God saw their actions. This is again why we read it on Kippur. A person might say to himself, ah, does God really know what I'm doing? Does God care for sins, not sins? The Pasuk tells us clearly, Vayar ha'Elohim et ma'asehim. God saw their actions. It's not enough to come out of Kippur just with good feelings. Yeah, I'll be a good person, a cardiac Jew, I'll be good. You have to take from Yom Kippur and put it into action. You have to do something after Kippur. Vayar Hashem et ma'asehim. Anyway, we go quickly to the end. Yonah was very upset at this. It's exactly what he didn't want to happen. They made teshuvah. They got saved. Disaster. Yonah says, now God used me for the condemnation. He tells God, Anna Hashem. This is why I ran away in the first place. I knew this was going to happen. Kahna it nafshi. Take my life. I want to die. I can't see it. I don't want to see what's going to happen. I don't want to see the ruination of the nation and that I was part of it. This is a leader. He was so upset because he didn't want Klai Yisrael to suffer. Anyway, God rebukes Yonah. While Yonah was waiting for the 40 days, when Yonah was waiting for the 40 days, because they had 40 days to make teshuvah, he was waiting outside the city. And it got very hot. And Yonah was about to faint. And all of a sudden, he saw a kikayon. A kikayon is like a very leafy tree. And Yonah was so happy. Oh, I could sit under the tree and get shade. The next day, God sent the worm. And the worm ate the tree, and the tree got destroyed. And God sent a very strong easterly wind, and it became very hot, and he didn't have his tree, and he fainted. So, God tells Yonah, you're upset, Yonah? Why are you upset? The tree, my tree. God says to Yonah, you're upset about a tree that was here today and gone tomorrow. You didn't plant the tree. It's not your creation. And because you're a little inconvenienced, it bothers you. I created the city of Nineveh. These are my people. These are my creations. I shouldn't have mercy on them. You have mercy on a tree that you have nothing to do with. It bothers you. It shouldn't bother me, all these people, and the animals, and the king, and everything. What God was telling Yonah, you don't understand my ways. And I don't owe you an explanation, Yonah. I told you to go do something, and you have claims. Oh, but now it's going to... It's not your business. And this is the last lesson that we learn. We cannot question God. I always tell you this. God doesn't owe us an interpretation. God is God. Who are we to even ask? And we think that we're smarter than God. God says this, no, we know better. I'll leave you with a parable. Just do what you're supposed to do. God knows best. Once you start to think you're smarter than God, that's when all the troubles come. There was a fellow, he was the ambassador of a certain city. The king told the ambassador, go to the other city, to the country, and represent us. Okay. What should I tell them? Give them the speech, and so you're representing us. But one thing, don't make any bets. Don't make any bets. Don't wager money. He said, of course, I'm not going to gamble. I'm just telling you, don't wager. Okay, I won't wager. He goes, he gets to the other country, the king greets him, Baruch Abba. You're ready to give your speech? Yes. He says, can I just say one thing before you give your speech? I don't believe why they sent a hunchback. Why'd they send a person with a problem in his back? Hey, what are you talking? I'm not a hunchback. He says, you are a hunchback. I know what a hunchback is. You're a hunchback. Why would they send somebody that has a deformed back? He said, listen, I'm not a hunchback. So the king says, I'll bet you $5 million that you're a hunchback. He says, wait. The king told me, don't take any bets. But I know, I'm not a hunchback. This is guaranteed money. But the king, he's thinking in his brain, the king says, don't bet. Yeah, but he didn't mean this. This is automatic. You know, I'm not going to even keep the money. I'll give him the money. So he tells him, you have a bet. So the king says, okay, take off your shirt. Let me see if you're a hunchback. He takes off his shirt. The king looks. He says, you got me. You're right. You're perfect. You're not a hunchback. He writes him a check for $5 million. And the guy's laughing. What a hamor this king is over here. He lost $5 million like that. He comes back to his country. The king says, how did it go? He says, listen, before we even talk, I want to give you a beracha. This is your check. He looks, what do you mean this is my check? And the king starts to sweat. He says, how did you get this check? He says, well, he bet me if I was, don't tell me. Did you bet him? I bet him, but I won. He says, let me ask you one question. Did he make you take off your shirt? He says, of course. He says, I bet the king $10 million that he won't be able to take off his shirt. Now I lost $5 million. Didn't I tell you don't bet? I told you don't bet. When you start thinking you're smarter than the king, just follow instructions. Don't be so smart. And that was Yonah's mistake. God told him don't do it. He said, no, if I do it, it's going to be a problem. Yonah, you did it anyway. And you had to go through all the troubles because if God wants you to do it, you're going to do it. So it happened anyway. So you should have just put your head down and follow. And this is all the 613 mitzvot. Even though they don't make sense to you. Why do I have to follow it? Just do it and ask questions later. I always tell you, if you can remember when you were young and your mother told you, go to your room. And you said, why? And she said, because I said so. She doesn't have to explain to you. You're the child. You don't deserve an explanation. God doesn't have to explain to us. I told you to do it because I said so. That's enough reason. Once you think you're going to become smarter than God, that's when all the troubles come. Anyway, ladies, I want to wish you all a year of great blessing. You all deserve it. God sees your efforts, especially our city, Mit Teshuvah. He sees that, Baruch Hashem, over the course of the year, You've attended so many Torah classes, not only here. This is, I'm sure, just one of many classes that you attend. And that's going to serve you well. It'll be a blessing to your homes. It'll be blessings to your husbands and your children. And Be'ezat Hashem, the seal of God will be only for good things, for you, for Am Yisrael, and for our nation. Amen.